Lord, as we have gathered here this morning, Lord, we are here to worship your holy name, Lord. In everything that we do, Lord, we love you and we care about you, Lord. Lord, we just pray for those here this morning, Lord, that are hurting, Lord. This morning, Lord, those who are struggling in times, you know, of difficulty, Lord, we just ask that you just give them comfort, Lord, because we know that you are our sanctuary, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord, and we can lie on your chest, Lord, and we can carry our burdens to you, Lord, this morning. Lord, we just love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
Pray that you know that this morning, that God is our sanctuary and he is where we can go in them times of troubles and them storms in our life. We can go and we can find sanctuary within him this morning. We love you, Lord. We love you and we thank you for all that you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2 this morning, Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5 through 18, but I'm going to start at the beginning in chapter 1, but as I was thinking through this, and it's been pretty tough being, or in 1 Corinthians, you know, Corinthians is a hard chapter because it is a time within the church in Corinth and with that time in the church of today where we have crisis, where we have things where the world is trying to infiltrate the church and trying to get control. And the whole matter that Paul was talking about, I believe in the same thing he was talking about in this section in Philippians, as he wrote to them, was unity. And we have to have unity with one another, but we also, if we want unity with one another, we also have to have unity with Christ. And that is the most important thing this morning. We can't have unity together without unity to Christ. And we look at this and think about no other name. Folks, we love the Lord, and by the name of Jesus Christ, man, so many things can happen in our life. By the name of Jesus Christ, we are saved. By the name of Jesus Christ, we are healed. By the name of Jesus Christ, we have comfort. Folks, it's all in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. And I pray that you absorb that, and we're going to be a lot of different places this morning. You know, but this is just kind of my verse because of one verse in there. But I wanted us to get the whole context of this. He starts in verse or chapter 12. Let me turn my paper over here. Starting in verse 1, he says, therefore, if there is any condemnation in Christ or consolation in Jesus or in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection or mercy, fulfillment or fulfill my joy, be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife, you know, through selfish ambition and conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only at your own interests, but at the interest of others. And starting in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not think or consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, that being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both the will and to do what his good pleasure is. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become bold or boundless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as the lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you have done for us, Lord, the blessings that you've given us, Lord, and thank you that for the name of Jesus. Lord, as we hear this morning, Lord, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, Lord, at your name, Lord, that you are the most important thing in our lives, Lord, that you control our lives, Lord, that you help guide us and direct us, Lord, and we are obedient to all that you have given us to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look through this and find some, you know, just some things, you know, about the name of Jesus, there is power in that name. There is power in the name of Jesus because Jesus' name has authority. How do we know this? Because in this Philippians passage here, in verse 10, it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as we look at this and we think about that, you know, we have people today. Can you turn the monitors down just a little bit? I am like blown out of here. As we think about, you know, what Jesus Christ has done for us in our life and who he is and all these people around us that want to deny Christ at this point in their lives, folks, there's coming a day when they will stand before the Lord and they will be on their knees bowing before him, telling this whole world that he is Lord, that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then one day that will happen. Folks, and I will tell you this, that I would rather it happen today to you than it happen in that day when it's too late to be with him in heaven. Folks, we as Christians, it is our responsibility, you know, as we sang these songs this morning, as we read these verses, that Jesus Christ should be the most important thing within our lives. That He should be the one thing that tops everything. That we look to Him for everything in our lives. That we are obedient to Him over everything within our lives. And that is hard for the world that we live around because they don't understand Jesus. And we look at the world and we want the world to know and live like us, to know Jesus and live like us, but the world does not know Him. So we try to put the world to live the same way that we should live. Man, we live for Jesus because He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our friend. Because He has all authority. And I love this verse, John, or in James chapter 2, verse 19. It says, it talks about, you know, demons tremble in His name. You know, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. They know who Jesus Christ is. Just think of that. Fear is a thing of the past, it seems like. The fear of God. Well, God is a loving God, but God is also a just God. Hey, baby girl, it's good to see you. Then we see, you know, that God, He loves us and He cares for us, but even the demons, even the demons have to flee at the name of Jesus. The demons cannot stay around. When we call upon Jesus' name, the demons have to flee. Folks, that is something that's very powerful that we can see within our Lord, that He is here to love us, He is here to save us, but He is also here that we can use His name, Jesus' name. When we come with trouble within our lives, when the devil tries to tell us that we are worthless, when the devil tries to tell us that we don't amount to nothing, all we have to do is call out on the name of the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I belong to You. I know I have worth. Lord, I know that I am valuable because of who You are. Lord, we are to serve Him and we are to recognize the power in His name. There is salvation in His name because He has power. There is no other name under heaven in which we may be saved. In verse Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You are saved by Jesus' name. Because of what He did on the cross of Calvary. Because He is the Son of God who lived here in human flesh. And I love that in Philippians where we were reading, you know, that He did not think, you know, it to be, you know, equal with God, you know, but He came of no reputation. He came to this earth to live among us. Why? Because He loves us and He knew that He came to die for my sins and your sins. Folks, we're all sinners. We all need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and He came and He is already taking care of the penalty. He's done paid it. Does not have to be paid anymore. Jesus did that. So how are we saved? Through His name. Through trusting in Jesus Christ. By putting our faith in what He has done on the cross of Calvary. We can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, and read through that whole chapter, which is wonderful. And we're coming upon Easter, and it talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Paul gives us the gospel within that first section of that passage. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died for me and you.
He paid our penalty, but he was raised again on the third day, victorious over death. So his name means something. There is no other name under heaven which man can be saved but Jesus. You can't be saved by Muhammad. You know, you can't be saved by Buddha. You can't be saved by any of these other people, you know, that live upon this earth. There is only one name, and that name has power, and that name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he loves you without measure. He loves you. I love that whenever he says, God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, you know that name brings healing. In verse 16, it says, now, or when evening had come, they brought him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirit with a word and healed all who were sick. Who did that? Did I do that? No, it was by the power of Jesus' name. And we get scared of that. You know, man, praying in Jesus' name, you know, that can be kind of scary. You know, that almost seems Holy Spirit or Holy, or let me say it again, Holy Ghost-like. Man, I am proud of the Holy Ghost in my life, that the Holy Ghost saved me. And I'm not scared of him, man. I love him and I thank him that he lives inside of me and that he helps guide me and direct me in my life. And he convicts me of wrong within my life. And he does that because the man named Jesus sent him to live within us so that we could have this eternal life. So there is power in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you understand that and that you comprehend that this morning, that you use that. That you use it in your life. Take advantage of that in your life as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Take advantage of the power of Jesus' name. Use it. That's why he left it for us, is to use it on a daily basis, because we all need the power of the name of Jesus because of the struggles of Satan coming against us. We need the name of Jesus. And I pray that you have accepted Jesus, that you have received that power under heaven, which is the name of Jesus. Do you know him this morning? There is a purpose of his name. What is the purpose of his name? One is to glorify the Father. Jesus' mission to reveal God. If we see in John chapter 14, verse 9, it says, Jesus said to them, or to him, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? And you know, there, just past that, you know, he talks about, you know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me, through Jesus Christ, through the power of his name. We see that Jesus always points us to the Father. Jesus always points us. If you look throughout Scripture, if you look, you know, in the Gospels, every time Jesus is pushing you toward someone, Jesus is always pushing you toward the Father. Man, look at the Father, what the Father has done. Who is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit always pushing us toward Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? You ever looked in God's Word and looked at the Holy Spirit? He's always pushing us to Jesus. And guess what? Today, even today in our lives, the Holy Spirit is still pushing us to Jesus. What is he doing? He's pushing us to be saved. If you are lost here this morning, you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is drawing you this morning to be saved by the name of Jesus Christ, by what he has done in our lives. So he glorifies the Father, you know, Jesus does, his name. You know, our lives reflecting his glory. In Philippians 2 and 15, which is where we have been, you know, this morning. You know, in 15, you know, it's, ooh, let me find 15. Oh, here it is at the end. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Man, we are reflecting Jesus Christ. We are light bearers. Or do we have the, or are we one that produces the light? No, we reflect the light to you, to other people, to the lost and dying world through our life by Jesus Christ that lives in us. So we, as born-again believers, we have a purpose for his name. We have a purpose to reflect light. We have a purpose. And I think that song, the song we talked about earlier in India, said, you know, that we all have a purpose. What's our purpose? It's to reflect Jesus' light into a dark and dying world. We need to reflect that light. How are we doing on that on a daily basis? Do we all fail at times? Yeah, we all have our moments, don't we? But I always look at it like this. Is that the exception rather than the rule? Is that the exception rather than the rule? Is that what we do? You know, we had a hiccup or we messed up in our lives, you know, and we ask for repentance and we come back and we live for Christ again? Or is it something that we do on a daily basis? We live for the world, or we do not reflect the Lord's light within our lives. We need to reflect it. And the purpose is his name. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians. He talks about it in Ephesians. He talks about it in Philippians. He talks about it numerous places throughout God's word. It is to unite believers together. We have something in common this morning as believers. Our personalities might be different. We live in different places. We have different likes, dislikes. We have all these different things. But there's one thing that unites us together, and his name is Jesus. And we need to recognize him. He tells us in Ephesians 4 and 4, we are one body and one spirit. What is the spirit? The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. We are one body within him. And what is he? He is the head of the body. What do we say? I believe it was last week I said, what does the head do? Or what does it contain? It contains the brain, the central nervous system that tells the body everything that it should do. Move your leg, move your arms, speak, do all these things. The Holy Spirit, you know, is to help guide us do that, because we are one body with him, and he is our head. He is our guide. Ephesians 4:4, he says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. What's our hope? You know, it all comes around. What's our hope? Jesus Christ. What's this one spirit? Jesus Christ. What is this one body? His body. Man, we are part of the body of Christ. And we are to live our lives accordingly. You know, live our lives to show how much God loves us. And also, you know, to unite believers, you know, the call to love one another. The call to love one another. In John 13, verse 34 and 35, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So how does the world know that we belong to Jesus? Truly know that we belong to Jesus. Because we come to church every Sunday and we sit here in the pew? No. Because we have a bumper stick on our car that says, I love Jesus? No. It's because we love one another. And that's what it all boils down to. Do we love God and love one another? And that is something that our churches have been known for, in the past and in the present, that people don't love each other. What do people say? Man, some of them church people are some of the meanest, nastiest people out there. Man, what in the world are we doing? Why would we ever act that way? Why would we ever look at someone in that way and it is not reflecting the love of Jesus Christ? It is not showing that we love others around us. We're not to tear people down, we're to build people up. We're to love people that are around us. We're to love everyone. You said, well, I don't know if I can love the lost, man. We're to love everyone. Let God take care of the rest. It ain't our responsibility to not love them, to hate on them because they don't know us or they don't know Him. It's our responsibility to love them and show them who Jesus Christ is. And how do we do that? We got to love one another. We got to love one another. And we have to reflect that love and we have to show that love throughout our community. And it can't be fake, because I tell you that people can see right through fake love. People can see through it. It doesn't take long. It becomes obvious. We're here for each other. Think of others. Oh, think of others more than you think of yourself. Think of others better than you think of yourself. It's not meaning that you're worthless. What it's meaning is you look at taking care of others ahead of yourself. Take care of yourself first, then you can take care of others. That's not what God's Word says. Take care of others. Man, take care of them. Put their needs ahead of your own needs. And we will be blessed for that. And we will represent the love of Jesus. And Jesus will be seen in this lost and dying and dark, decaying world in which we live in. But we need to practice, or the practice or patience of Jesus' name. We need to live in His name, conducting ourselves worthy of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It's earlier in this book. It says, let us conduct ourselves worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I've always said one thing that I really love to hear, and this is, I believe, what Paul is saying here, whether I'm here or I'm absent, I love to hear whenever God's people are loving others and showing that love out within our community. People come to me and say, you know what so-and-so did? Man, they've helped this other person. I'm saying, praise the Lord. It's not for you to look good because the preacher's around. Oh, and I hear that more times than you can shake a stick at. People says, well, the preacher's around. You can't talk like that.
preacher's around, we can't do this. Who am I? Man, God's everywhere. He's always around. We need to fear God more than we fear the pastor. We need to fear God and who He is and what He has done for us. It should drive us to love Him. So we should conduct ourselves worthy of the gospel. And this is not just on Sunday morning. So we're going to conduct ourselves worthy of the gospel in front of all other brothers and sisters in Christ. How about outside where the lost are? We need to make sure that we are practicing the name of Jesus, that we are living it out, conducting ourselves. We have to make sure that we are bearing fruit in every good work. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we're to be fruit bearers. Just like light bearers, we're to be fruit bearers. Do we produce a fruit? No, God produces the fruit. It just hangs on us. It hangs on that limb. Does that limb, that a pear tree or an apple tree or some type of tree, does that limb make that fruit? Where does the nourishment come from? It comes from the trunk. It comes from the main source of it. It doesn't come from the limb. We are the limb. God is the main trunk. He is where it all is coming from. All the nourishment, everything to make that grow is coming from the Lord. But we have to make our lives available. And this is something big within our lives. Are we available to God to use? We can make ourselves unavailable. We can make ourselves where we are not available to God because we have all of this other stuff going on, that I'm no longer available to God because too much of the world is in me instead of too much of the Lord. We need to be available to Him so that we can be used by Him on a daily basis. And praying in His name, asking with faith. In John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, and whatever you ask in My name, who's speaking here? Jesus. Whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. This is not a blank area to say, well, you know, if I want a new car, if I want a new house, or if I want a new this, or I want that, you know, that God's going to give me this if I just ask in His name. No, it's when we're living for Christ, when we are living in the Spirit, when we are living for Him and we're reflecting His light, we start asking for different things. And when we start asking for different things, you know, the things of God, God will give us them things. And this world's got it all mixed up. All I got to do is ask. All I got to do is ask. It's not asking for things. It's asking for the Lord to do things. Man, I tell you, if you ask God to do something miraculous in your life for His glory, not yours, God will do that. It may not be in the way that you think that He should have done it, you know, but we are relying upon the Lord and not on what we want in our life. And that's a big thing, especially for me. I want God to answer my prayers the way I want them answered. Anyone else here with that? But there's sometimes that I don't need what I ask for. God gives me something else, or He just says no. You know, no is an answered prayer. Man, no can be some of the best answered prayer, because we can look and see in the future of what God is doing in our lives. And we can say, boy, I'm sure glad He didn't give that to me back. back then, because that would have really messed up my track that I was on for the Lord. So we need to ask with faith, but we also need to seek His will. And these kind of go hand in hand. This is in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. He says, "Now this is the confidence that I have in Him, that if I ask anything according to what? His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that He has petitions that we have asked for or him, ask of Him." So what's the whole key to that? When we ask in Jesus' name, but we ask according to God's will. And if we're living for Christ, if we're united in Him, if we're living and we're praising the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to be living in His will, and we're going to be asking for things that are according to His will, because we're going to be being led by the Holy Spirit. So do you love the name of Jesus this morning? Man, I love the name of Jesus and all that it has done for me in my life so far, but what it will do in the future. And I pray that you have the same thing this morning, that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that you have been saved to the uttermost, that Jesus lives inside of you and He has control of your life, and that we are taking advantage. And that almost sounds bad, doesn't it? Taking advantage. Man, but we need to take advantage of what the Lord has given us. Don't stop short of what God has given us, so that we can live a life that is pleasing to Him. As we stand this morning, we have a song of invitation, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by Jesus. Lord, we just come humbly before You, just thanking You for all that You have done for us in our lives, Lord. Lord, I ask this morning, Lord, that we would just surrender all to You. Lord, and if there's one here this morning that does not know You as Lord and Savior, that today would be that day that they would surrender all. Lord, and others that have been holding back, Lord, from being committed totally to You, that today would be that day that they would commit to You totally, Lord, and live by Your name and Your Spirit. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.